It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So we just go in and out, no muds, no fuzz, just get this shit done.
Okay.
No, the funny thing, the steroid is it goes in loops.
Loops.
Like I took the steroids
this
morning. Then I went back to bed because I was exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Slept for a few hours. Got up, feeling okay. And then early in the afternoon, suddenly, I'm just alive! Played a bunch of Fallout. By the way, I no longer think I deserve a trophy for putting a bar in Hangman's Alley. I deserve a trophy for putting an artillery in Hangman's Alley.
Did you really?
I did!
How did you do that?
There's an alleyway back there. It's just going to shoot up right between the skyscrapers. Dude, I put one on a farm that I'm pretty sure every single shell is just going to hit the overpass. The game doesn't care. But then by like 4:30, I was like, I can go to bed now and get up at 5:30. And that would be a nap, right? Because I was that tired. And now I'm on like a backswing the other way. I'm awake!
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast that keeps going even when we're sick and on steroids. Get over here.
You do look pretty pumped up.
I'm so pumped. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 257.
And I've been very, very ill. This has been a saga. Like, at this point, this is the easiest winner for the biggest event in this house of 2016. And I know it's only for upcoming. But I feel like come November, it's still going to be a strong contender.
Yeah, well.
So, like, a week ago, even earlier than that, I had some illness, but I think it was unrelated. But, like, a week ago, I got sick. I told you we couldn't even record. We needed to use the...
And then the evil guys took over, as they often do.
And then...
Always do, I guess.
And then Friday, I went to work for like half a day. I was out Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, I went back for half a day, and I was like, I'm exhausted. So I went home.
Throat.
Killing me. Trish got me chloraseptic. Saved my life. I haven't had chloraseptic since I was a kid.
No, I haven't either.
That stuff is dangerous, but it's really handy.
By the next day, that's gone.
Because now it's dropped into my chest.
Also at this point, Trish gets it.
Oh boy.
So we're sick all weekend. Monday, go back to work. Totally kills me. Trish stayed home Monday. She was sick. Tuesday, I stay home.
She goes to work long enough to do one meeting, and then she comes home, and then we're both just dead in the house. Like, we're quarantined except for the delivery guys.
Wednesday, I'm back to work. Thursday, which is today, I'm back out. And Trish is, she was better Wednesday, and now it's hitting her again pretty bad. But today, I was like, screw it, and I went to Quick Care. Mostly, I figured it's probably just the gunk that's going around, and there's some bad gunk going around, especially at ACD. Because she said, where do you work? I said, ACD. She's like, we're getting a ton of you guys. But also, you know, Jim Henson. I'm like, I want to make sure it's not pneumonia.
Sure.
You know, something like that.
Sure.
It is a kind of a long time. And by this morning, I had no voice. I told you. I was like, this is going to be a real interesting podcast.
Because I'll be like, yes. So basically, you'll be writing everything down. I'll be writing everything down. And you'll have to say it.
But so they gave me Buterol, which is nice, and prednisone, oral, like, pills, and that, I got those home early in the morning, and I took those, and now I'm a star!
humans. With the milk of human kindness. For those of you just joining us, I don't normally sound like this. I have been trying to do Old Man River.
Oh, sure.
Old Man River.
Sure. Look,
you can really get down there.
Tom Waits got a vibe going. We have a hat. It's magic. It has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. People like yourselves email into that address with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrified those emails into little note cards with the information written on them, which manifest within the hat itself, physically.
Excited to be on steroids! Servants.
What did I do? I didn't...
Draw the cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air.
Talk about them till we're bored, do that for like an hour, that's the whole show.
It's magic.
It is magic.
We don't do anything. We just
that
show up.
Talk. It magically makes us talk.
Yeah, and it does all the work. We just show up, pull things out of the hat, talk, and post it. We don't even edit this or rehearse or know what the questions are beforehand.
Every week I'm not entirely sure who this guy is.
Yep.
So, how have your 2 weeks?
Presumably less terrible than mine.
Let's see. Helped Dave Vid play test a game that he's putting together.
Speaking of which, are you registered for GamerCon yet?
No.
Make that happen.
We should
do that.
It's
like 2 weekends away.
We were thinking about going to Comic-Con and then ended up not going.
GamerCon. Dave Avid's people, the Games on Demand's folk, got their own damn color on the schedule. I was like, I didn't see them and I emailed them today.
I was like, I don't see you on here. And there are really a lot of RPGs in general. And then I figure out, A, Pathfinder Society, which is an RPG thing that's sort of separate, own color. And B, Dave Avid stuff, the Corridor Games on Demand, is its own color.
Own color?
Yes. It's like a spreadsheet.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that's nice. And he wrote back, he's like, yeah, we have to pay extra for that. I'm like, still!
I'd like to talk about the game that we playtested, but I'm not sure. I mean, since it's just under development, maybe it's something Dave doesn't want us to talk about. I really don't know. He could post something about it if he likes, obviously.
Yeah, Dave, go to the
It's a great... I enjoyed it very much. It's a great idea, but maybe he wants to do some more playtesting before he talks a lot about it.
Those of you in this area, you should go to GamCon if you weren't already set up for it. It's a gaming convention at the Sheraton in downtown Iowa City. It used to be at the IMU, the university, which was okay, but I like the Sheraton location a lot better. It's built for it. I mean, it's a freaking convention.
Sure.
And also, the way the Sheraton is set up, basically, the basement is the convention facilities. So it's a very easy delineation between people. And if, you know, you want to take a break and get some food or whatever, you're downtown.
Right.
So that's easier. But you should go to GamaCon.org and check it out. And yeah, I believe it's the 26th through the 28th of February. They're having a costume contest for the second year in a row. We'll see how that goes. I'm not sure this year. There aren't a lot of, like, definitive games I definitely want to play. So I may do more of actually just showing up and seeing what's going on. Which also means maybe getting more involved in the Games on Demand stuff this year. We'll have to see. you should ask him, though. Also, you could talk about it on the podcast if he says it's okay.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it.
Because I suspect it's fine, but you should check first. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else?
Let's see. Not a whole lot. My wife saw Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Holy crap. Trish, are you listening? Abby saw Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
She says
yes.
Was
it awesome?
She says it was incredibly awesome.
Because really, it's the trailers... Well, the big thing, I saw Crack pointed this out.
The American trailers are different.
And the international trailers are selling a different movie.
Okay, here's the thing. I didn't go because it's not really my thing. I mean, I would have gone if she was going to have to go by herself, but she had some coworkers who were actually excited to see it, so it's like,
I'm pretty much exactly the same thing. Trish will probably see it with her sister.
Yeah.
But if for some reason she doesn't, I'm okay with going.
Yeah, yeah. I would have, if she was going to go, but I wouldn't let her go by herself, and I would have gone and watched it. Not my thing. Some friends of hers or coworkers were interested, so I thought, okay, that's cool. You should go with them and have a good time out with your coworkers. That's awesome. So she did that, and she loved it. We watched... she wasn't incredibly familiar with the original material, and I'm only familiar with it because I've seen other films and plays based on it somehow. I don't even know how that even happened. So I said, well, let's look on Netflix and see if we can find a version to watch so that you have some kind of frame of reference, you know?
Yeah.
So we watched the version. We watched the version that, what's her name? Knightley?
Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley's in, which was actually quite good.
Yeah, I think of them as the Keira Knightley version and the Alan Rickman version.
Okay, well...
Those are the two big ones. They don't play the same part, just for the record.
But,
Alan Rickman plays Lizzie Bennett, and I believe Keira Knightley plays Mr.
But we watched that, and it was very, very good. And, you know, everything in it that I remembered from all the other things I'd seen. I haven't read the book, but I've seen all these productions, and they pretty much all... They must pick all the same stuff out of the book. There's probably huge parts of the book that I don't even know about because those are always the parts that everyone leaves out when they make a film or a play. But anyhow, so we watched it. And she enjoyed that version of it. We both thought it was good. So then when she went to the movie, she admitted it really did enhance her enjoyment of it because the film, the Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, basically did the same thing all of the other adaptations have done, leaving out just those same parts and including those same parts. So it was pretty much the Pride and Prejudice part of it was blow for blow the same movie, but then there was this zombie stuff going on.
Which is how it's supposed to be, which was the whole reason the book was funny, is that it was the same material. In this country, they turned it into very much a period horror film.
Well, the previews made it seem like that,
Whereas the international previews made it seem like, and it sounds like accurately, it's a parody of Pride and Prejudice using zombies for the parody.
Right.
Which is awesome as an idea and is the whole reason the book was a successful thing, because that's a neat idea.
Well, right, and of course, Pride and Prejudice itself is considered a kind of a satirical look at life in England at that time. So that's part of it, too.
What? Does Abby know the... We can't hear you, baby.
Oh.
What's that?
Does Abby know the Lizzie Bennett Diaries?
No.
Somebody did... They kind of pulled the Gossip Girl a little bit, but not exactly. Somebody posted a video diary on YouTube called the Lizzie Bennett Diaries.
Okay.
That is a modern day video diary. But if you look at it, it's totally bright.
Oh, that might be interesting.
It's pretty neat.
That might be interesting.
It's a modern retelling done entirely through basically video blogs.
Hmm. Someone did that with Carmilla.
Oh.
And it's kind of interesting. I didn't.
I could see that.
I didn't enjoy it a lot, but I thought it was an interesting idea.
Well, and it's tricky. Pride and Prejudice doesn't translate into the modern era without a little bit of shoehorning.
Sure, sure, sure.
I honestly am not a super big Austin fan, but it's funny you mentioned the knowing more about it beforehand, because so Trish's youngest sister Stephanie, big Jane Austen nut, and we got her a while ago a board game called Marrying Mr. Darcy. That's essentially a game where you all play eligible ladies in Pride and Prejudice. And all these events happen and social occasions and things, and you gain different points and things, and you try to get the man you want to marry you to propose.
Mm-hmm.
And there's points, and it's ridiculously trite, and that's the whole point. Like it's so, and it's most fun if you get into the role playing of it.
Sure, sure, sure.
But throughout it, they kept laughing at situations that would occur that were remarkably similar or dissimilar from the book, and I kept not understanding. P.S. That game came out with a zombie expansion that we haven't used.
I think Abby hasn't read the Pride and Prejudice either. I think she'd actually like it. But I don't know if she'd like the book so much as to be like a huge Jane Austen fan.
I'm imagining people are going to listen to this podcast and they won't be able to understand me at all between the mic trouble and the voice trouble. So it's going to be like that section of the Great White North album where you're supposed to read off the back and people just have a conversation with you. That would be awesome. Somebody write that up.
We also saw The Martian.
Man, you've been busy.
Well, I didn't see Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Did it make you want to go to Mars?
No, I didn't think the film was... I didn't quite see what the hubbub was about it. It was okay, but I didn't... A lot of people seem to think it was this great film, and I didn't think it was spectacular. I thought, in fact, it was one of the weakest performances I've seen from Matt Damon in, like, ever.
I think people lauded the book because it had harder sci-fi than most sci-fi. And people lauded the movie because it was more than 2 hours long and Matt Damon was starring in it. And it was sci-fi. Like, that doesn't happen very often. When a real genre piece gets a lot of big names and length of time attached to it, people think it's exciting. It's also why I don't see them. I can't stomach that long a movie.
Again, it wasn't horrible. It just wasn't as great as I heard people, you know, people said it was this awesome film, and I didn't see it as awesome at all. But
interesting pause. People said it was an awesome film, and I didn't see it. That's awesome. That's how I felt about it. People said it was an awesome film, and I haven't seen
excited
it.
Excited today to hear that scientists do think that they have detected gravity waves. I thought that was pretty exciting news.
Oh, dude, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was announced today.
I'll have to ask Dr. Bryce about that tomorrow. That's her jam.
So that was exciting. But what else? I can't think of really much of anything else. Anything else for you except being sick?
Well, I've been very sick. So I've played a lot of Fallout 4, which is hilarious because I'm like 70 hours in. Just found Nick Valentine.
Yeah, that happened to us too.
Yeah.
But that's fun. It took a long time.
I'm a little bit worried because I'm starting to associate playing Fallout 4 with being sick. So,
oh no,
combination is bad.
Yeah,
I've also watched a ton of shitty horror movies, but I have three films I've seen that I want to talk about, and one of them I'm going to go beat by beat through the entire film. So we have to save time for that.
Okay.
So let me quick hit the other two. One was a while ago now. We finally saw The Last Witch Hunter.
Yeah, I saw that on the list of potential. We've got one movie in our Netflix queue right now.
Mm-hmm.
Suffragette, I think is what it is. Mm. And that's it. And I thought about putting that one in, but I thought, I don't know.
Like, nobody saw it. It was apparently horrible. But modern urban fantasy, which I love, and Vin Diesel, which Trish loves. And neither of us is too unhappy with the other ones, Joyce. So we figured, what the hell? So we did it. It was bad.
Hmm.
I expected it to be bad. It was bad. It was way more bad. It's bad enough that I recommend it to certain people. Like, it's impressively bad.
Oh.
Like, entertainingly terrible.
Okay.
But, and this should be on the DVD box, and it's insane. Feature-length film. Starring Vin Diesel. He keeps his shirt on the entire time.
Hmm.
It's insane.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Plenty of opportunity. Don't know what the hell's going on. Tim Allen couldn't keep his shirt on through Galaxy Quest. Why the hell does Vin Diesel have his shirt on all the way through this? But yeah, it's a disaster. The mythology's a mess. Every character is an idiot. Like, it's, oh my god. Lots of pretty CGI, but none of it makes sense. Oh, it's pretty amazing.
Okay. So, good choice not adding it to the queue, then.
Just today, when I'm sitting around with nothing to do, sick, on a bed, I watched a film called The Slashening, which is from a company called Troma, which, for those of you who don't know, are the lowest of the low of shitty, no-budget horror films since the 80s. Like, they scour the world, sometimes giving a guy $5 and 2 weeks to make a shitty movie, sometimes finding something that was buried in the 70s in Italy and nobody's found and deciding to distribute it, but like their stock in trade is terrible effects, trashy movie, just horrible movies that are just like so bad. That's like their thing. So I expected very little from this, and I was surprised in that it's a halfway decent horror movie parody. Like, I feel like it's one of those, like, this guy is later going to become a more successful director, or the screenwriter will go on to do other things, and you can say, like, you knew him when. Because it's still a shit movie with, like, very bad actors and no budget and a dumb story and the whole thing. But it's remarkably funny in ways that, like, took some thought. Like, it's a decent parody. It helps if you've been watching a bunch of horror movies full of these tropes recently, but it's called The Slashing. So for those who think they can stomach if I tell you it's a trauma movie, and for those who think that would be funny, I might check it out. It's free on Amazon Prime right now, so go for it. Then we got to talk about Greetings.
About what?
Greetings.
Okay.
2007 film called Greetings. Here's why we got to talk about it. I don't understand what the fuck happened in this movie.
You don't understand what happened?
I do not understand what happened in this movie. And I need you and the listening audience to help me.
Well, how can I help you if I haven't seen it?
Because I'm going to tell you everything that happened in this movie.
But it's like from your perspective as someone who doesn't understand. What if you skip the very detail that I need to unlock it?
It's the only
hope
I've got right now.
All right.
If we get close, I'll strap you to a chair and make you watch it. But
all right.
I don't want to have to do that.
Okay.
It's called Greetings. It's a 2007 British-made, very low-budget horror movie. Spoiler alert. I'm going to tell you the whole damn movie.
Okay.
So this is all the spoilers ever for a movie none of you have seen and none of you will see. That's also available for free on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
So British film. And the little blurb, I believe, says it's this woman's birthday party, but she is unhappy because her male friends are playing with a Ouija board and they unleash something bad that's going to fuck them all over.
Okay.
Which is a fairly standard plot
yep.
in horror movies.
Yep.
And one that I always find hilarious because I always like to see how they approach the Ouija board thing. It's different every time. Always wrong, but different every time. So this one starts up. And it's a party in somebody's apartment in Britain. Not a great apartment. Middle, lower class, I don't know. Bunch of British people hanging out. They look like normal people. It's a party. No, that's a point. They don't look like actors or anything. Like, I believe these, like, eight people are having a party in an apartment that looks this bad.
Okay.
And that it's this awkward.
I thought you were saying they're British, but don't worry, they still look like normal people.
No. And apparently, it is a birthday party / housewarming party / celebration of the birthday girl and her significant other who live in the apartment, their first anniversary of being in a relationship.
Oh, and this, a woman and a man?
Yes, okay. A woman and a man.
Just in case that's important, I don't know.
Everyone in this movie fits heteronormative assumptions.
Okay.
Some of them are not explicated, but everyone, I believe the assumption is everyone in the film is straight.
Okay.
There are eight people at this party. Mm-hmm. I eventually determined. I didn't care enough at this point. But it is worth noting because two of these people are a woman who is of no significance whatsoever and a man who is named Ken and who, I believe, based on dialogue, most of the people had never met before.
Okay.
Until this party.
Gotcha.
He is there. He thanks them for inviting him. That kind of thing. He's clearly friends with the woman who doesn't care. Who doesn't matter. And they talk. The first half of this movie is a pretty believable and boring real life housewarming party.
Half of it? The first half?
It's only like a 90-minute movie, but oh. I'm going to say, yeah, like 45 minutes
okay.
is just a party. And it's not like a movie party where like little bits of plot. No. It's just a party. People drink, and you get the sense that they're sort of drinking more than they normally would because they feel like they should. they're kind of catching up with each other, but they clearly see each other regularly, so there's not a lot. They're making jokes, and then somebody is riding the wave of having people laugh at their jokes, and they go too far, and somebody gets a little offended, and they're like, oh, sorry, and then they go on about their business. Like, it's all very sort of awkward and boring and real, but pleasant enough. I felt like I was at a party because I was contributing about as much as they were. So, and then the woman who does not matter at all and Ken leave. They're the first ones who they decide it's time to go. They leave. They are never seen again. They were of such little insignificance. I had to look them up. Most of the people in this movie are in nothing else ever. Some of them are in like one other thing. And some of them, this was their first thing and they've been in a couple things since. The guy who played Ken has been in like 40 things that you've never heard of. So I think he was basically their celebrity cameo, but he's so down the line that I still had no idea who he was. So that was weird for me. I had never had that experience before. But so anyway, they leave and we're all hanging out. And at this point, we discover the end table. There's an end table that they bought recently at a yard sale. It's very nice. One of the people notes it has the alphabet scrawled on it in a circle. And a couple of them realize this means that at some point, somebody's used this for a Ouija board. And they've been drinking, and they're in a horror movie, so they decide they're going to do it. And the birthday girl, whose name is Kathy, does not approve. For no reason. And to be fair, she's not really bad about it. She's just kind of passive-aggressive. She doesn't play. She sits in a chair. She just kind of grumps as they play. Here's the thing. The Ouija board tells them, do not disturb. Although it's a little complicated. It tells them, do not diss. And then they stop playing. And then it wrote turb on the bathroom mirror later. But it's clearly what was going on.
Turb.
Yeah, it just says turb. I'm not even making that up. It says turb. And it's a thing because somebody goes in there and sees it and wipes it off. And then somebody else goes in and it's back again. And so a good 30% of the remaining movie is people being like, did you move the glass when we were... No, I didn't. Swear you didn't move it? No, I didn't move it. You were moving it. No, I was not moving it. Or like, you wrote that on the mirror. I don't care, but you wrote it, right? I didn't write it. What? Shut up. You don't trust me? No, I just... You have to have... And the table moves. Like, it goes back into the corner, and at one point it's like sitting up on something. You know, spooky, poltergeist bullshit. None of this significance. At this point, it's still a shitty Ouija board horror movie. And it's almost over already, you know?
Sure.
We probably got a half hour left. It's notable only for making a fairly realistic and boring party scene. But so at this point, two more people go home. And we are left with two heterosexual couples. The couple that lived there, which includes Kathy, the birthday girl, and her significant other, and then this other man and woman. And Kathy, due to Ouija board related stuff, is pissed off at her boyfriend. So she and the female friend are going to take the bedroom, and the boys are going to be stuck on the couch. Because guys are in the doghouse.
You know, okay.
It's a thing. I should say,
it's a thing.
After the whole turb debacle.
Yeah, yeah.
We played the Ouija board again.
Oh, okay.
Because why the fuck no?
Yeah, right. It's...
And Ouija board said, you were warned. Which at this point, the entire thing to me seems really less unlocking evil and more just like bugging your grumpy neighbor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't want to be bothered, you can go away. And if you're out to get them, you should be like encouraging them to disturb you. So this is like, get off my lawn. Okay, that's it. I'm getting my shotgun. Like, what the hell? Ouija boards aren't like that when they're evil. But, you know.
Well, but some spirits are good and will try to warn you not to do certain things. But if you persist, then you can't be helped.
But it's like, so it's like the Incredible Hulk, except its weakness isn't getting angry, its weakness is having conversations.
Well, no, maybe the good spirit was trying to stop them, but...
Don't talk to me. You wouldn't like
me. There's more than one spirit. There's a good spirit trying to stop them, but if they don't stop, then they can't prevent the bad spirit from coming in.
You bring up an interesting question, which, jumping ahead a little bit, is never answered in this movie.
Okay.
So there could be two spirits. That does not help us.
Okay, unfortunately, either way,
it's still insane. So at some point, the two single guys leave, and we've got the two couples. The two guys are in the doghouse, women are in the back, and it's a lot more of the same shit you would expect.
Mm.
And at a certain point in this, we finally figure it out.
Because, you know, we have to figure it out, and then people have to be killed. That's how horror movies work. So we figure out, it starts like writing on the walls and shit, and it's pissed off, and we can't get out. We try the doorknob, it burns our hand, and I think it marked letters on her, I don't know. Now, during this time, we figured out some hinky shit is going down, and we're in trouble. Here's the information we have. The friend who's not the birthday girl is a goddamn psychic. It just started tonight, and people are only mildly surprised by this. Because she basically keeps the plot going as though she just read ahead a couple pages in the script.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps saying, I think it means this. I think it's because you're like this. And people say, how do you know that? And she says, I don't know. I just have a feeling. And the subject is dropped. And this happens like 7 times. So she's just there for exposition, magical exposition, because she had no idea either.
Right.
And so this comes up a lot, and everybody's like, how do you know? I just have a feeling. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Never addressed again. The spirit, the evil Ouija-ness, says it is unclean. It says what's bothering it is unclean, and what does it want? It wants, it says, cleanse me or clean me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what this means. By the way, the birthday girl on her period.
No.
And in fact, we spend like a 5-minute scene cleaning up what apparently was sort of an accident for no reason. It's not gory, it's not sexy, I think it's just filling time. I don't know what that's about, but that's in there. Psychic girl figures out, to be fair, this is not her biggest leap of logic, unclean, it probably means, because she's on her period, because, you know, society is full of assholes, and I'm sure spirits go along with that, too.
Well, there are, like, ancient Jewish
beliefs
and things. Yes,
there are so many cultural traditions of people being assholes about women's
menstruation. Okay.
And I'm sure the supernatural community is totally on that level. So they figure out that's the problem. That's as much detail as we get. We don't know if that's what's keeping it from killing them, or if that's why it's here, or what.
Okay.
But that's what's going on, and it's pissed. And it's going to come in the front door. By this point, it's like banging on the door. Has no physical form, but it's banging on the door. Denouement is coming. We can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes. The door bursts open. Kathy, the birthday girl, who's on her period, wipes what I'm going to assume is menstrual blood on her face.
Intentionally.
She doesn't explain why, but she very clearly didn't
just like accidentally hit herself in the face.
The spirit comes in a flash of CGI nothing, wraps around her, and the screen explodes in light, and everybody falls down, and the screen is full of bubbles superimposed on things. They're not quite normal bubbles. They're sort of science fiction bubbles, because they have little, like, machinery at the edges, like that they were created. Like, there's little generators that are creating almost like a force field kind of thing. There's these little just pieces in them.
Mm.
So they look like science fiction type force field bubbles to me.
Mm.
But who knows? I really don't think that detail is going to clinch this. Because inside each one is a perfect little CGI fetus.
Mm-hmm. Right. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Also, you're like, I get it, but also still. Like, I believe that you believed that was what was going to happen and that you were right. I don't believe that's going to help you explain to me what the fuck happened.
Probably not.
Eventually, they dissipate. I mean, I don't even know. Eventually, they're gone for no reason. The two guys who left a few hours ago, not saying they were coming back, who don't live here, walk back in.
The guys or couple? I mean,
the two men who left together earlier. Ken and the woman who don't matter, never seen
again. Oh, okay, right.
This is the next set of people. Come back, walk in the door, look around, be like, what happened? And I think Kathy talks about how it's just so beautiful to see them. And she smiles. It's morning now. End credits. So I ask you, having told you everything that happened in that movie, what happened in that movie?
Well, there's some bad storytelling, obviously. You know.
Yeah, man, just from a film craft perspective, I can pick the shit apart.
Like with the woman who knew all this stuff but couldn't quite understand
that was
why.
Some sloppy bullshit there. Yeah, yeah. But I don't need, the problem is I can't identify the story.
Well, let's see. You have, I mean, the spirit board trope, you know, where you use a spirit board and it releases a spirit and it causes bad things. that's all pretty obvious. Yep. Actually it's all pretty standard up to
the fetus bubbles.
And, well, the menstruation part, too.
The menstruation part is weird, but it's dealing with themes I'm familiar with.
Right, but it doesn't fit. It doesn't
fit
is what I'm saying.
Or at least not, because they didn't ever really explain. Is that what's stopping the badness, or is that what's causing the badness, or what?
No, I think I think that if I had to guess, I'd say that part of the setup of the story, like you were saying, it felt like a party or whatever. Yeah. There's this whole thing with, like, what are those films? Paranormal something or other?
Paranormal Activity.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I take it wasn't shot that way.
No, it was not shot as found footage. You could have hooked that in really.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The people are taking that storytelling approach, and even when they're shooting in a conventional way, they still want to give this, they want you to feel exactly the way you felt, where, okay, this is a party, and the more you can connect to this being a real thing that's going on, the more creeped out they're hoping you'll be when the supernatural stuff starts happening.
And I was, but I was more creeped out for modern society and filmmaking.
No, but I think where the there was some just straight up sloppy storytelling for a while, but where it really went off the rails, as far as things being disjointed and they don't make any sense, was with the menstruation thing, and then obviously the you know, like, I could tell that these, there were going to be fetuses in these things somewhere, simply because of the kind of disjointedness that it was. For example,
were making glances towards Antichrist stories.
Right, but she's on her period, so she's not, how is she going to be impregnated by this spirit?
Right.
So that doesn't make any sense. But then again, it sounds like a mistake a bad writer would make, right? Like, okay, so how are we going to get the spirit? Because when you're telling stories, these are very easy mistakes to make. You can
fetus bubbles.
Like in your mind, okay. While you're putting the story together, you can think to yourself, all right. So the overarching thing here is going to be that they release a spirit that is like demonic, and it's going to impregnate one of the women and, you know, the Antichrist or whatever, which is completely unoriginal.
And
by this time, a thoroughly sexist trope, but it's very common.
And fine, I would have mentioned the movie if it had just done that.
Okay, so let's say, if you take out the menstruation aspect, if you could take that out.
Just Ouija, fetus bubbles.
Yeah.
All right.
You would probably have put it together as, oh, I see, so they released a demonic spirit and she's pregnant.
Then it just would have been hilarious.
Okay, See, but it's the menstruation piece that messes it up.
That's true, because you could almost make an assumptive leap about the plot, and then they jackknifed it in there.
Exactly. Okay, so what happened was, I'm going to surmise, as a storyteller myself who runs into all kinds of storytelling problems similar to this, not exactly like this, God help me.
No, your fetus bubbles make total sense in your novel.
But what happened here was, while they were putting the story together, they ran into a story problem that they thought, and I think what the story problem they ran into was this. One train's coming from Chicago. Not that kind of story problem. The story problem they ran into is this. What can they do with the birthday girl, right? To make her stand out and be attractive, you know, why should the spirit pick her?
Oh my God, she was pissed off about the Ouija board stuff just because she was on her period, wasn't she?
Or something.
God damn it.
You see what I'm saying? And so then they thought, she's unclean because she's on her period, without realizing or thinking about how that makes the whole rest of the stuff you're going to do not make any sense.
And they went so far as to no, because this is the thing.
You have problems of this nature.
Yes.
In your work. Yes. Not of this severity.
Well, every storyteller is going to have this problem.
You're not a lunatic, but of this nature, yes. And to put it succinctly as I can, you've written something. You give it to me. I read it. And I say, I don't understand how you went from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, that's because da 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 da. And I say, that's not obvious in here. That was clearly in your head.
Yep.
Okay, and you try and fix that. Here's the deal. In the scenario I just established, you're you and I'm me. Neither of us is a dude who got your book off of Amazon Prime when it was completed and published. You know why? Because you had at least one goddamn person read it.
I know.
Beforehand and say, William, I don't understand where the fetus bubble comes from.
Well, see, this is...
How does a movie make it to the real world?
I don't know.
Without one person having seen it and being, what's the deal with fetus bubbles?
I don't know. But this is a common problem that people who are crafting a story can have. And maybe you've run into it too when you're doing role-playing, is you'll come up with a solution to a problem in the middle of your story that doesn't really take into account the end.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Movies about books do that a lot, too. When we saw the Harry Potter movies, frequently afterwards I would have to explain a couple things to Trish because she hadn't read the books, and they were things that were explained in the books, so the people making the movies sort of forgot that it wasn't self-evident.
Yes, yes.
But again, that's minor. Like, people could see the Harry Potter movies and not catch that. Nobody saw this movie before me. Like, it just is not possible.
Well, here's another way this happens in movies, though, is...
A really asshole editor?
No. Sometimes scripts get changed in the middle of production.
Yeah.
Sometimes money runs out and... You were going to do pickup shots, but you can't now, so you have to cut it together in a certain way. There are a lot of things that can happen where, if you could talk to the director, he'd tell you, I know exactly what your problem is with this movie. I had the problem with the final cut, but with the material that we had after our money ran out, this was the best we could do. You know, we weren't even going to put that menstruation part in there, but if we didn't, the film would have only been this long, yeah. And then we couldn't have got it on Netflix. You know, there's...
But, I mean, you can band-aid that with a cheesy ADR session, just explaining the...
Well, I don't know. There's just... You would not believe how many things go into making a film, and business things and decisions, and sometimes decisions that are made that you as the director or writer don't even have any say in. But...
And I didn't check the credits to see if there was someone in charge of continuity.
Well, that's another thing. But also, the fact of the matter is, for some reason, there are scripts and films out there where the story craft is crappy, but somehow they just make it. I don't know how. Somebody watches it and likes it. Someone saw that movie.
Don't get me wrong. Free with your Amazon Prime subscription is not exactly the big time.
And remember, when you see something, and this is why you and I, when we're talking about movies and books and whatever, And sometimes when we're really critical of something, we put a disclaimer in there saying, hey, if anyone else likes it, that's your thing. We're not saying that this is you can't like this. Because you and I acknowledge that every single thing that you enjoy that's artistic is through a particular lens or collection of lenses. I mean, I've had the...
Krull is an awesome movie, you guys. Fuck right off. I love Krull. They act so hard.
There are going to be some people who see this movie and get it. You know, and there are things that I've seen that I didn't like the first time. I watched it with someone else who did like it, and I thought, oh, okay, well, if I watch it through that lens, I can actually enjoy this.
There are people who immediately knew Sharon was black. I get it.
But you see what I'm saying? Yes, there's all kinds of factors here. There's
a complication here you're not thinking of.
That doesn't mean it's not bad story crap, though.
I'm not even just saying in my opinion. I think this is legally true at this point. I think if you put bubbles with fetuses in them floating around, I think it is that is legally an homage to 2001 at this point. Which just muddies the waters even worse.
Yeah. Well,
it's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, I don't think I can answer your question about what's happening in the movie. But just based on what you said, I think it's obvious that there was some bad story craft to begin with. And probably the menstruation thing was just a big mistake. Big error.
This is not the worst movie I've seen recently, by a long shot. It's just so seldom where I'm like, I genuinely don't even know what they were going for.
It sounds like what they were going for was they wanted you to connect. They wanted you to feel like you were part of what was going on so that when things happened, it would creep you out more. Sounds like they kind of accomplished that a little bit, but then the story just wasn't very...
Yeah, they only creeped me out afterward, because I suppose, on one level, we should appreciate that the bar to entry now is low enough. If these guys can do it, you totally could have a movie on Amazon Prime.
That's not much of a compliment, I don't think.
People with active brain damage... can do it, so why can't you?
I don't know.
And from another perspective, why is Inquired Within not free with your Amazon subscription? Because that movie's a shit ton better than this one. We'd have to pad it out a little bit.
Yeah, well.
It'd just be 45-minute shot of me walking to the office and 45-minute shot of me leaving. Like, real-time walking.
I think
I walk from here to Mick's mom's house.
I think all three films that I made, you know, over a decade ago now are pretty solid concepts.
They could be an anthology. We'll put them in a frame of, wait, I got this. I'm an angry old man who's forced to babysit his niece and nephew, and they want a bedtime story, so I tell them the scariest ones I can think of, and these are them.
And you're
but
in one of them.
It's more existential dread.
Okay.
Clearly, than like scary.
Okay.
This could work.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know.
Just draw something out of the hat because we got like barely 10 minutes now. No. Look, you're trampling.
Oh! I'm standing on the hat. Oh my gosh, I didn't even see it. What is wrong with that?
And that's why we're all going to die. By the way, we all know what the title of this episode is now, right?
No.
Really?
No, I don't know.
Fetus Bowl.
Oh, Fetus Bubble, sure.
Of course. Also my new band name. It sounds like I know what that means, but if you stop for a second, imagine approaching that phrase not knowing what it means. It sounds like something really
Should
disturbing.
Should it be Fetus Bubbles or Bubble Fetuses?
No. No, they were bubbles full of fetuses.
Right. But
I like Fetus Bubbles.
Okay.
I think because it sounds more unwholesome.
Okay. Okay.
Because the other one just sounds like unborn baby bubbles.
Well, that is kind of what they were.
No, these were fetuses. bubbles where the prize inside is a fetus. It's like, do you remember Bubble Bobble?
Yes, I remember.
It's Bubble Bobble. Did you never play the fetus level in Bubble Bobble? That shit was hard, man. You can't spell anything with fetuses. You know, you'd have to line up the letters. You can't spell shit with fetuses.
Dude, have you heard about the controversy about the Super Bowl commercial where the guy's eating Doritos and it's during his wife's ultrasound, and the fetus is like wanting to get out to get the Doritos.
No, but I'm terrified.
Well, the controversy is that some pro-choice groups think that, oh, so you're just trying to prove that the fetus is alive, and this was
Doritos, you said.
Yeah. That's
I am confident Doritos was making no commentary.
That's
on
what I think.
The abortion movement.
That's what I think.
I think the entirety of the company that owns Doritos, like its parent company and everything, isn't capable of making a commercial with an opinion on the abortion issue.
I cannot believe. So I mean, oh my gosh. Anyway. From the hat.
But it sounds like a horrifying commercial.
Yeah, that's anyway. What I thought.
Yeah. I'm not in favor of it.
But I don't think it's going to... I don't think it's making a political statement about whether or not it's okay to get
it. It's just really poor taste.
A lot of commercials were like that for the Super Bowl, apparently. I didn't see any of them, but...
Also, if I thought a chip was so good that a fetus would try and come out of its mom to get it, I would never buy those chips. And I would encourage everyone I know not to buy those chips.
Anyway, from the hat, board games. Any recommendations that work well with only two players?
Ooh, good one, good one. More and more, a lot of games are developing two-player versions. Like Race for the Galaxy, I know you can play it two-player. There's an old standby that we really like called Jaipur, Jaipur. It's mild to moderately racist, I'm not going to lie. You are trying to become the Maharaja's favorite traitor. And so it has a lot of tropes that were heavy in the Aladdin film.
Mm.
That kind of thing. But it's a pretty fun game of like buying and trading and stuff. And it's pretty quick, and it's only two-player. You can't play anymore, so that's a good one for that.
Well, there are some classic games that are only two players, like Battleship. That's a great two-player game.
Thumb wrestling.
And you can get Battleship in various... We've got Star Wars Battleship, which is outstanding. It's got sound effects and everything. You know, stay on target. You know, that plays when you're playing it. It's pretty awesome. But also, speaking of Star Wars...
When you look over and cheat and look at the other side, you're using the Force.
Speaking of Star Wars, the Star Wars version of Life works with two players pretty well.
You have the Star Wars version of Life?
Yeah, it's great. It's very cool.
It's weird.
No, it's a cool game.
Go to the Imperial Academy or start moisture farming.
No, what happens is it's interesting the way it works. Like regular life, you're kind of racing to a particular end or whatever. And in this case, I think you can be the first one who finishes and still not the winner because there's some kind of point system, if I recall. But anyway. You're training to be a Jedi, but you can take shorter paths that give you dark side points, see? And you can end up being a Sith in the end instead.
That's messed up.
There's another cool Star Wars game that, you know, it was a VHS.
Oh god, I played, you can only play that damn game once though.
Well,
we played that.
It was a very cool game.
The player who is closest to the reactor is now the traitor.
Yeah, I can
feel your mind. Yeah.
Yeah, and so one character at the end would be turned against everybody else.
Darth Vader is giving you all these clues as you're racing around. Yeah,
James Earl Jones.
Yep.
And it's pretty cool.
Yes, I know who did Darth Vader.
Maybe, he doesn't always do Darth Vader, but he did it in the game.
As though you're like telling everybody that, you know,
has,
who that guy was?
That has nothing to do with two players, but that was a cool Star Wars game.
I talked about that new game Coup that I got, COUP.
Mm.
It's a fun game and it's a short game. I don't know what the two player one looks like, but it has a two player version. Baby, two player games. My wife is apparently dead.
Checkers, chess, backgammon. Great two player games.
Risk.
Risk isn't very good for two players, I don't think.
Risk isn't very good. Neither are several of the others mentioned. Like, we're talking about decent two-player games.
I don't really know of any, like, cutting edge new.
You and your wife don't play a lot of non-video related games?
Nope, we do not. As I've pointed out, I realized relatively recently in my life, as much as I've enjoyed games throughout my life, I'm probably not what most people would consider a gamer.
I've always hated that about you.
I do like games, and I play games, but when I realized that there were these people called gamers, and how they, what their attitude toward games was, I realized, wow, I'm a real lightweight when it comes to games. I didn't think I was, but I am.
I have discovered that the broad category of gaming, which involves a lot of video games, role-playing games, party games, strategy games, board games, card games, you know, there's so many different axes.
Sure.
Is too big. To me, it's like 7 or 8 or more different experiences.
You're right.
And some of them I'm willing to do pretty much any time. Some of them I very seldom am interested in. And some of them I just have to be in the right mood
for. Yeah. I get it.
But it's very hard to say.
But I mean, even if you take them and separate them out, like, if you look at just the kind of games you'll see on tabletop, for example, yeah. Warwings Tabletop. Again, I like those kind of games. I play them, and you know, if someone said, "Hey, I'm going to have a party. We're going to play a whole bunch of these games," I'd go and have gone to games like that.
Yeah.
I have hosted games similar to that, or parties similar to that. But when it comes down to it, again, the people I know who are into that kind of thing, I'm not even anywhere close.
I think I have to make an elaborate chart or coding system to explain, because there's a lot of combination factors too. First, are we talking video game or real life game? Second, are we talking alone with one person or with multiple people?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Third, are we talking social game, strategy game,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
storytelling game, mm-hmm. role playing game?
Right.
Goofy game.
Yep.
Then we also have, are we drinking or not? Because that is a definite factor. It's a very different game situation if I'm having drinking night, like New Year's Eve, and we drink like crazy, versus we're just all hanging out and nobody's getting drunk or anything. It's a different vibe. And sometimes I'm in the mood for one, sometimes not, and so forth. And all of these, like, I want to work out like a hexadecimal code and be like, in this situation, this is what it needs. In this situation, because, like, video game, alone, in, like, a role-playing immersion situation, love it to death.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently, video games, one person, I like. Video games, multiple people, often do not like. Real-life games, multiple people, social, or role-playing, or goofy, yes. Strategy, often not, but sometimes, if I'm in just the right mood, one other person, strategy, real life game, other times I'm really in the mood. Like, it's really variable.
Yeah.
It's a complicated man.
So I don't really know. I don't have just off Jiper, the top of my head.
Coup and all the classics.
Yeah, those are good.
But seriously, a lot of games nowadays, if you look at the box, they've got 2-player instructions and they usually just modify rules slightly for that. Now, sometimes it's probably not as good. Sometimes it might be better. I don't know.
Well, that Game of Life, the Star Wars edition that I've played, I've played it with multiple players also, but I have played it, and it seemed just perfectly good with just 2 players.
Because they've made 1,000 kinds of Monopoly, and Monopoly started off as a game that wasn't super relatable. It was kind of a fantasy career thing.
Mm.
Like, what would it be like to be early 20th century Donald Trump, I guess, you know? And then all the other versions are just ciphers. They're just replaced this thing with something else. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, I've got a great Looney Tunes.
But I'm sitting here going, Life was originally designed to teach people about the complications and the ramifications of life. And I'm like, that seems like a terrible thing to just switch out stuff. But what you're saying is they actually went, what would life be like if you lived in Star Wars world?
And if you were a Jedi and you were going to study to be a Jedi. Which,
don't get me wrong, I super do not want to play. But I'm pleased that they went to that effort, and it sounds to me like something that would be marketable and interesting, and not just a plate switch, you know? Not just a palette.
No, yeah, it's exactly. It's not like Monopoly where it's the exact same board. They just make different names for things to fit.
It's not just
the Cubs or the
Game of Life with other references.
Yeah. No, they totally thought about what the Jedi Game of Life would be, and they put it together. And I think it's pretty fun. But
Fraud with Peril, the Jedi Game of Life. Okay, we're out of time. I'm out of voice. So go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us how terrible this episode sounded from a scale of really bad to the worst ever. But understand that most podcasts just wouldn't be recording at all.
No.
Because they're fucking sick.
We're committed.
So don't look gift terrible podcast in the mouth.
Yeah.
We are all about quantity here. Not quantity. This is shit, but we have 200, how many? 207?
57.
50 something.
Yeah.
That many hours. Free. Obviously, there's a reason for it, but still. How many free hours did you give me? In some cases, a few. But this is as good as I get, so shut up.
Consistency, that's the name of our game.
Write that, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and listen next week. Hopefully, I'll have a voice then. Seriously, this episode probably really sucked.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.